presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't want to get ahead of the Lord. I don't want to miss Him in any way, and I know that you don't. Praise the name of Jesus. I want you to let me just talk to you just for a second. And if you're worshiping, interceding, just go right ahead. You know, the high priest come to the Holy of Holies once a year, you know, to make atonement for all of Israel. And in that moment of time, when he went in there, there was such a manifest presence of the Lord that he would have died, you know, if he wasn't prepared. And so the Lord is really pruning and purging his church because, he gave us that promise that when we saw sin abounding, that grace would abound that much more. And so we're encountering a level of sin that we've never encountered before. We're encountering a level of demonic activity that we've never encountered before. And so with that, God's given us grace to be able to come up to a new level in Him, to be able to counteract everything the enemy would do and to reach and bring in the harvest. But with that, we've got to recognize that God's presence is going to increase in our life. And as God's presence increases in our life, we've got to walk a tighter walk. We've got to be quick to repent. We've got to be quick to recognize that the little foxes and the stuff that happened in the past, that's going to be a limitation and a hindrance to how much of the presence of the Lord and the power of the Lord can flow in us and through us. And so anyway, I wrestled all night. And it seemed like that some of us, and like we said, I never know how much this is in these four walls and how much of this is going out, but there's some people that were really struggling with forgiveness. And we need to know that God come to forgive us. And when He forgives us, it's gone, amen? But also He wants to empower us to, firstly, to forgive ourselves. And I think that part of that struggle is that maybe someone is having issues about being able to forgive themselves and move on, and especially within family situations and circumstances. But God wants us to know that He's the God, and that's what I want to talk to you about just in a moment's time, that He's the God that not only forgives, but He forgives and forgotten. Actually, that's what I heard in the Spirit. He said, my people understand to a level that I forgive, but I want them to see that everything is forgotten. Forgotten. And so if you and I can get in that sphere of the grace of God that is within us and is operating in our lives, and that power, that presence, it'll change everything about our lives. Amen? All right. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 3, then. Let's just let the Word speak to us. You know, you're never going to hear a word that you haven't heard before. You're not going to ever hear anything taught or preached that you haven't heard before, but it's how you apply it at that moment of the Spirit. Amen? All right. Romans chapter 3, very familiar verse, verse 23. Romans 3:23. If you're there, when you get there, say amen. For some have sinned. That's everybody, isn't it? That's including me. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But notice this. Being justified freely, hallelujah, by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation, an atonement through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance, the patience of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him or her which believeth in Jesus. Say, I believe in Jesus. I'm justified. Father, in the name of Jesus, you see this group of people standing before you, their hearts open right now. Father, you know all about the situation. You know what the enemy would do to try to steal, kill, and destroy. But you have abundant life for them, for us. And Father, right now, we just ask and we give you permission just to go through our heart with a fine-tooth comb and help us in every area of our life, not only to see that we're forgiven and thus we can forgive, but all those things of the past are forgotten. They're forgotten. And thus, we can forget those things by the power of the Spirit of God. And no longer do we have to be limited. Do we have to be hindered? Do we have to be influenced by what has happened, what has hurt, what has hindered us in the past? We make that confident decree. We pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, and we say, amen. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. So, as you look at this very familiar verses of Scripture, you recognize that all have sinned, and we've come short of what God would have for us. But you serve a God. You have a Father in heaven who says that mistakes have happened, this has happened and that's happened, but that's not my will. And my will for you is that I want you to be justified. I want you to understand and recognize that through the sacrifice of my Son Jesus, that's what He's saying to us in His precious Word, that it can be just as if you never sinned. Now, can you know what it felt like when you got the very first time that you got born again? And that weight, that load of sin come off of you. The joy, the freedom, the liberty that you felt. God, His desire, His best for you and I this morning and every moment that we're on this earth is to walk in that reality. Now, that was a special manifestation that was revealed to you and I by the Spirit. But after that manifestation, then we got to walk that out by faith. You may never feel that same experience again. But what I want you to know is the Bible says that as you walk through this earth, Jesus told Peter, He said, as you walk through this earth, you're going to get your feet dirty. Things are going to happen. He said, but guess what? He said, I'm cleansing you. Because you're walking in the light, Jesus is the light, and as you walk in the light, as He's in the light, and He manifests things to you, He's continually cleansing you from all unrighteousness. So you have no fear of judgment. You have no fear of hell. The devil does not have an open door in your life. Now, I don't understand this, but I'm going to say it, and you do with it what you will, but the enemy is working in somebody's life to get a foothold in their life to tell them that as they walk the Christian life, they're in a place where sin has a stronghold in their life. Now, you and I, there is no stronghold but Jesus when we trust Him, when we follow after Him. We're not perfect. Come on, we're not perfect, but we're following the One that is perfect, and He's working in us. And as long as our heart is to do better, you've got to walk in that reality. Amen? I've got to walk that out. Because we don't want the devil to have any open door to bring condemnation in our life, because you and I, we're not under condemnation. Amen? Now, notice what the Word of God says. It says, being justified freely. It didn't cost you and I anything, but it cost God His Son. Amen? But justified. Now, you've got to see it. That word justified means to render entirely innocent. Y'all may not ever got in trouble when you were in school or whatever, but if you did, you remember when you were not guilty? And there you were, either whether it was a mom and daddy or school teacher or a principal or whatever it might be. I mean, you knew you were innocent. Whew. That's the way that you and I have got to live every day.
Yeah.
It's not about what you feel like. It's not about what it looks like. It's not about what the devil's telling you on the outside. When the devil comes against you and he starts reminding you of things that you haven't done or things that he thinks he can convince you that you should have done, you stand up and you speak the word to him like Jesus did. It is written, I'm freely justified. Come on, I'm entirely in. Come on, we got to walk in forgiveness. Because if we walk in this forgiveness, we'll be able to forgive others. And we'll walk out the reality that it's all forgotten. Now notice this. It says, verse 25, whom God has sent forth to be a propitiation, an atonement, through faith in His blood. All you have to do is just believe in the blood of Jesus. That's it. In other words, take the pressure off yourself. Stop trying to say, "Well, I'm going to be good in this area. I'm going to do this in that situation. I'm going to do that." No, say, "By the grace of God, I'm going to come out of sin. I'm going to overcome sin. By the grace of God, I'm going to walk in the victory by that prevailing grace that God has gave me, even though sin is abounding all around me." Amen. I am forgiven, and I don't have to be touched. I don't have to be influenced. I don't have to be limited and hindered by my past, because my past is in Christ.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Now we're talking about the source of you and I being able to look at situations of life and look at people differently. Right now the devil is trying to bring a great divide, not just within the church, but within the whole world, by this hatred. He wants people to be consumed by what he says is their differences.
Yes.
We were all created by God. Whether we follow him or not. And so we are unique and special, and the only difference it is when the devil gets involved. Now, notice what it says. By this atonement and your faith in that blood, it says that you can declare his righteousness. As you walk in this earth, you have the ability to show forth, to reveal, to take the cover off the righteousness of God. In other words, it is his righteousness for you to be righteous. He wants you to know that. He wants you to believe that. He wants you to show that forth to all of the lost and dying world. You're not a whitewashed hypocrite. You're a blood-bought saint. Amen? And so when the devil tries to tell you something else, you tell him what the Word says, because look what it says. It says that, he said, I want you to, through the forbearance of God, I want you to see that you have a declaration that you would tell people that God was a justifier. See, you and I, we can try all day long to do this and do that, but when we just come humility, with a humble heart to the Lord, then He takes our heart and He brings what's on the inside to the outside, and what was on the outside that was dominating and controlling us, it goes under the feet of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now let's look at something. Go with me to the book of Micah, just after just past the book of Jonah, and let's look at something. This is that verse I told you that I spent years and years looking for. I'd heard people talk about it, but they never quoted it just right, so I never could find it. This is back in the days when you just had a concordance, you know, and you had to go word by word by word. But anyway, look at Micah 7 and 18. Now this is your God, okay? So this is my God. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? Now think about it. First of all, I want you to get that in your heart. You are the heritage of the Lord. Because of Jesus Christ, you're the inheritance. Think about that. So who is like unto our God? Now, I want you to see how God, He takes care of right here. What did He say? He pardons iniquity, and He passes by the transgression. So, you and I, you know, we've talked about sin and transgression, iniquity, and all of these things. But it doesn't matter which part of the level or the depth or the progression of sin that we might have been in the past. God's the answer to it. Amen? Now, notice what the Word says. He said, He retaineth not His anger forever. Say, God's not mad at me. Now, you and I, we've got a message to the world. The world is, God loves you. For God so loved the world. Not the church. Not the saints. For God so loved the world. So, how can I expect the world to come to a God that I am telling them about, but yet I don't walk and live in forgiveness? I don't let the past be forgotten. When this is a stronghold, and don't look at me that way, don't get aggravated at me. We're talking about something that will help us. We're this is what God wants to do in our lives at this moment of time. Now notice, it says, He retaineth not His anger forever, because He delighteth in mercy. Now how many times have you been around somebody, who couldn't wait to get revenge? Actually, I even used to plan, okay, they've done that. This is what I'm going to do. Come on. But we've got a God. Oh, wait a minute. I'm of God now. You're of God now. Offspring of God. So what our Father does through Jesus, we can do. He retaineth not His anger forever, because He delighteth in mercy. Now, by the Spirit of God, I want you to know that God wants to deal with some things that is in down deep in our heart that we don't even recognize and realize that it's there. But it's little seeds of anger. And let me quickly add, it's not anything that you have done, because God gives you emotions. He gives you me emotions. He gives us feelings. But when we don't give those emotions and those feelings to Him for healing, they turn into hurt. And like we always say, hurting people hurt people. So that anger needs to be dealt with. And how do we know that we can do that? Because He just said that our God delights in mercy. So the more areas in my life that the devil has hurt me and has tried to bring separation and isolation, tried to bring desolation even in my life, in your life, we qualify for God's mercy. So I specifically feel like that God is wanting to deal with some family situations, some things that is down deep in our heart that we don't even completely understand. And we've got some anger against some... maybe it's not even, we don't even recognize it's against people, but it's against situations and things that was said or things that was done. But when we come back and we see that the God that has caused us to be born again, that has saved us, that He will quickly give us mercy, then we know that when we receive that, we can give it to others. Yes. Now stay with me just a second. Verse 19, He, our God, your God, will turn again. He will have compassion on us. Aren't you glad? Yes. So if I'll turn to God, He'll turn to me. Because that's what had happened here. They had turned away from God. And so the prophet is telling them, hey, God's going to turn back to you. In other words, God visits us in a season whether I deserve it or not. Thank God He does. Amen? Now notice what the word says. He will, it's His will to have compassion on us. That's His will. Now notice what happens. He will subdue our iniquities. So we've done talked about iniquity once before, but talked about transgression. But He will subdue. This word subdue is a Hebrew word that means He will walk down. He'll tread upon. He'll walk in victory over my iniquities. Well, now iniquity, see, you've got a sin, which can be a sin of omission or commission. It can be an accident. But you can also be a sin that is on purpose, that becomes a habitual thing. You've got trespass, and we'll get into that some other time. But this iniquity means that you've been doing this something for a long time. I've been doing something for a long time that I don't even think about it. I just immediately go that way when that situation presents itself to me. The devil loves that. See, whether it's anger, whether it's jealousy, envy, strife, those things, they start out as just a sin. But then they become an iniquity and they dominate your situation. When you encounter a situation where this comes up, you don't have liberty and victory in it. It's controlling you instead of you controlling it. Instead of me controlling it, it's controlling me. See, unforgiveness causes anger. People do and say stuff out of that, and they don't even know it. They don't understand why. And God said, I'm going to tread it down out of your life. If you'll just take me at your word, I'll put it under the feet of my son Jesus. Nothing comes up out of his feet because he is the victor. Amen? Now notice what happens. He will subdue his iniquities, and thou will cast how much of their sins? Every one of them into the depths of the sea. How many times have you heard that scripture? I'll throw your sins in the sea of forgetfulness. Yeah. Well, that's pretty close to right, but it cost me 15 years to find it. But anyway, this is what your God, my God, will do. Now think about this. He said that he will. That's his will. You don't have to ask God. See, so many times people say, well, if I knew God would do that, if I knew what God's will, you know what God's will is. I know what God's will is. We got a message to tell people who are in iniquity that God wants to stomp it down out of their life under the feet of Jesus. He's not mad at them. He's mad at the one who brought the iniquity in their life. Amen? Amen. Now, as I was thinking about this, it says, he will cast it into the depths of the sea. Immediately, the Spirit of God spoke in my heart, and it come up in my mind, the Mariana Trench, you know, in the Pacific Ocean there off of Guam, you know, the United States, because that's our... We own most of that, but I want you to think about it. It's almost 7 miles deep, 43 miles wide, 1,500 miles long. Now, you could take Mount Everest, the tallest mountain that we know of on land, and it would swallow it up. You know, we've got a lot taller mountains in the ocean than we do on the land, amen. But think about that. I think that is there for a purpose and a reason. I think there's some teaching behind that. And I think that they say that if your human body was at the bottom of that, that your bones would immediately disintegrate. That's pressure. Because that's where... And it said that... I love how this one scientist put it. He said that it was like being covered in outer darkness. Drowning in darkness because there's no light. So that's where God sends your sin, my sin, our iniquity, our trespasses, all of those things goes where there's no light. Now, wait a minute. If there's no light, it can't be seen. So if somebody goes digging around in there with a flashlight and starts bringing up your past, my past, tell them, hey, you better be careful. What God is, this word cast, it means to throw down. Now God ain't, you know, in the old days when we had a throw down, we know what that means. There's a fight going on and Jesus has done won it, all right? Amen? So you got to see that you're forgiven. I've got a lot of baggage, but I checked it at the cross. Come on, we got to help people check their baggage at the cross. Oh, hallelujah. Glory. Isaiah chapter 38, I think. Put Isaiah 38, 17, Brother Ryan. Hallelujah. Behold, for peace, I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul. God loves you. Amen? To my soul has delivered it from the pit of corruption. Now notice this. Look at the last part of the verse. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. What happened to Jesus' back on the cross as he went to the cross? Woo! He carried every one of your sins, my sins, on his back. The weight of every sin that would ever be committed from the time of the Catabol, from the time of Satan's, Lucifer's downfall, all the way to the last sin that's committed at the end, when as the sands of the sea they follow after the devil after the 1,000 years. Every one of them. He died for all of them. So there's not one sin that you... That's why as you walk in the light, as He's in the light, you're continually being cleansed. Amen? I'm a forgiven person. You're a forgiven person. And so because I'm forgiven, because you're forgiven, God has forgotten our sin. We need to live like it. How many times do you talk to somebody, boy, I'd like to do that, but you know, I just don't qualify. That's a lie of the devil. You qualify because God said you qualified. Right. Amen? Amen? All right. Psalms 103. We've got to drive this point home. Psalms 103. Let's start in verse number 8. Psalms 103:8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Better translated, rich. Rich. Rich in mercy. Come on, mercy takes care of judgment. Takes the place of it. Jesus is the full manifestation of God's mercy. Amen? All right. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. Verse 10, He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. You don't have no reward out of what happened in the past. Your reward is what happened at the cross. Amen? So the next time the devil says that you can't get this because you've done that, or you're going to receive this because you didn't do that, say, devil, you're a liar. You have no part, no lot in my life. I have what thus saith the Lord, and I cast down your words. I do not receive them in Jesus' name. Amen? Because you've got to see yourself in this place, in this position. Verse 11. For as the heaven is high above the earth, we don't even know, do we? I mean, we can see the second heaven and how beautiful it is with the sun and the clouds and the stars and all of those things. But we're talking about the heaven of heavens. God's throne is exalted above all. Amen. It's high. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His what? Toward them that fear Him. All you've got to do is believe God. Reverence Him. Say, God, I take You at Your word. I take You at Your word. Notice what happens when you take God at His word. As far as the east is from the west, you know this scripture, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Now, you see, I don't know. Y'all may not have lived like I did, but I lived under a heavy load of sin. A heavy load of transgression, a heavy load of iniquity. It dominated my life. It controlled my life. And when I hear that my God, that He can remove it from my life, and when it's gone forever, it gives me hope. It gives me a reason for living. I don't know about you, but there's nothing worse than waking up in the morning and you hadn't slept. And then, so you're feeling bad physically, you're tired emotionally, but then you feel like in your spirit, what is this all about? And the devil's quick to try to get you and I in the place of hopelessness. But God is our hope. Amen? So, I feel like the Holy Ghost is talking to somebody. I know that right now, this stage in your life, it looks like that certain things is hopeless. It looks like that you're not going to be able to do what you want to do, that you're not going to be able to even go where you want to go. But you can't look at this moment of time. It's just for a season. It's just for a moment. This is hallelujah. God is bringing us. We heard a prophet this morning say that this is the day of new beginnings. This is a day of a new season. And so you and I, we've got to step into that new day. Amen. Take God at His word. Believe Him. Try Him. He said, try me and see if I won't pour you out a blessing which you cannot contain. Amen. That's your God. Verse number 13. Like as a father pitieth, shows mercy, same word for mercy. Like a father has mercy towards his children, So the Lord pitieth, has mercy, compassion to them that fear him. Say, I qualify.
I qualify.
Now notice this. For God knoweth our frame, verse 14. For God knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. Now see, this is vital information for you and I. God wants you to separate spirit, which is eternal, and carnal flesh, which is temporal. You're not going to be perfect until you put off this incorruption and you put on incorruptible. Amen? And so God knows that. So stop allowing the devil. I have to stop allowing the devil to bring up all the past or to bring up those tendencies of... See, my flesh still wants to go the same direction it always did. If I yield to it in one area, in a minute, I am over here somewhere where I thought it was long gone. It never left. It was just hiding under the bush. It was like Genesis 4:7. What did God tell Cain? He said, hey, sin is at the door. It's waiting to jump on your back, in other words. But you and I, we've got to see what the Word says. I've got to see that God knows that I'm flesh, and so He's going to help me. What did He say to do? He said, walk in the Spirit. Right? Galatians 5:16. And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So I just got to tell the Lord, Lord, right now, I'm feeling discouraged. I'm feeling weary. I feel anger. Now help me not fulfill that. I don't want to forgive, but you help me to forgive. Come on. We're talking about power here. Amen. We're talking about victory. Now, Hebrews chapter 10. This is all because of Jesus. Brother Larry just got through going through the book of Hebrews, I think, not too long ago. Look what it says. There's a lot here, but we're just going to pick this up. Verse number 1, Hebrews 10 and 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things which can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. So he's saying that under the Old Testament law, the Old Covenant, the animal sacrifice, it was there, but it would never make the believers perfect. That excites me because that was under the Old Testament law. So what happens under the new, under the blood of Jesus? He wouldn't bring this up if he didn't want us to read into the real revelation that you and I, the word simply means complete. See, the devil doesn't want you to think that. He'll do anything he can to steal that truth out of your life. Because if you come to the realization, if I come to the realization that I'm complete in Christ Jesus, then I don't have to look to somebody else. My affirmation is in Christ. It's not in man. Your affirmation is in Christ. You don't have to have somebody else to hold you up. Your source is the Lord God Almighty. Amen? That's powerful. That's truth. I just got to say this. I don't know. Your self-worth is not in who you know or who you're with or what you own. Your self-worth is in the reality of the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Glory. Now notice. Said in verse number 3, it says, but in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sin every year. In other words, they would come back to Jerusalem once a year and they would have the offerings. But what that did, that brought to their remembrance that they were a sinful people. God wants you to forget your sin. I know that's heavy. Come on now. But He wants you to forget your sin. You say, well, now, wait a minute. If I forget it, I'm liable to do it again. No, if you remember it, you're going to do it again.
Right.
When you forget what used to dominate you and you put Jesus in that place, it no longer has a dominating place in your life. Amen?
Yes, amen.
All right. Drop down to... verse 10. Hebrews 10:10. It says, by the which, and this is talking about Jesus coming to do the will of the Father, but by the which will we are sanctified, we're made holy through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. How long? It didn't say at the sounding of the trumpet. It didn't say it at your last breath or my last breath. When you and I come into a relationship with God the Father by the Spirit, through the Son, Jesus the Christ, accepting His grace, our faith in it, what happens? Once and for all, I am made holy. Now that offends some. They say, who are you? You think you're self-righteous? No. I'm God. Yes, ma'am. I'm God righteous, ain't you? Jesus done it all for you, for me. So I've got to see. So why are we talking about this? Because when unforgiveness comes up there, this is important because you're going to run onto somebody in the next few days, few weeks, I don't know what, and you're going to run into somebody that is going to test whether you believe this word or not. Because you're going to have an opportunity to remember. Are you going to have an opportunity to walk in the grace of God? And remember, when you walk in the grace of God, it said that you would declare God's righteousness in the earth. So the lost are in the earth because they're of the earth. And you're going to be able to declare a right way to them. It will pull them out of sin and pull them into an understanding, an opportunity that Jesus is there for them. Amen? Verse 11. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. Verse 12. But this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever... Can you say forever?
Forever.
He sat down on the right hand of God.
Yes.
The priest never sat down till the work was...
Yes.
Jesus said, John 19:30, woo! It's finished.
Yes.
All you and I have to do is accept it by faith.
Yes.
So God thinks, wait a minute, if God thinks that way, I need to think that way. That I'm justified, that I'm made holy. So I need to walk like that. I need to live like that. I need to recognize and realize that the holiness of God repels what the enemy's trying to bring in my life. Repels it. That's exciting. All right. Notice what it says. Verse 13. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Now, I want you to think about this just for a second. God has put you and I in the earth to subdue it. Remember what He told Adam? God hasn't changed what His desire was from the old to the new. He wants you and I to bring the enemies under the feet of Jesus. Now, literally, this is going to take place as we see the book of Revelation unfold and as we see time cease to be as you and I know it. But God wants us to have a type and a shadow of that in the earth today to be able to cause people to come out from under the thumb of the devil. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 14. For by one offering, He, Jesus, for by one offering, Jesus hath what? Forever them that are sanctified. Come on, say it. Agree with God, I am perfected. Now that's a word that we don't like to say, so let's just say what the word is from the Greek. I am complete. You're not lacking one thing. That's powerful. All things are at your disposal through the name of Jesus. Now, the Spirit of God wants you to take that and say, Lord, help me in this area where I don't have complete truth. He said, you're complete. If you don't have complete truth in a certain area, in other words, somebody was troubled last night heavily. Somebody was bothered last night very strongly. And the enemy was coming against you in a powerful way. But God wants to show you that you are complete in Him. You don't have to struggle on your own. You don't have to. You're in a place where when you tell the devil who you are in Christ Jesus, it'll put to stop. It'll put him at flight. Because when you say the Word of God, it puts God's angels to flight for you. And it puts the devil's away from... Yes, that's right, Brother Duckett. On the road again. Hallelujah. All right. For by one offering, He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, them that are made holy. So you've got to say this. You've got to... The best power in your life is when you pray the Word of God. Thank God for praying in the Holy Ghost. There's nothing better than praying in the Spirit. But after you pray in the Spirit, listen for the interpretation and pray then what God gives you to pray. 99 times out of 100, it will be Scripture that you're familiar with. Now the other 1%, it'll be Scripture then that you will become familiar with. Amen? And it'll never be outside of this Bible. If it's outside of this Bible, then you judge it, right? What do we do? Because that's prophesying. You judge prophecy, and then you cast it down if it didn't come out of this book. Yeah. Amen? And then you'll never make a mistake. You'll never fall short. You'll never get in trouble. Real quickly, Philippians chapter 3. Now, after we do this, this is what happens. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 13. Brethren, who's he talking to? The church. Thank you, Sister Michelle. Amen. Brethren, sistren, I take an inventory, not by myself to apprehend. In other words, I look at my life, I take an inventory of where I'm at. But this one thing I do, I don't do it by myself, I do it by the Spirit. I do forgetting those things which are behind. I neglect those. That word simply forgetting, it means to neglect it. In other words, every one of you, you had a thought this morning, even about before you come to church. And you had to choose whether to give heed to that thought or neglect it. But because you're taking inventory not by the natural, but by the Spirit, you were empowered to put that thought, take it down. He said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which were behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. God has so many good things for us. And so we want to do like what the Apostle Paul here by the unction of the Spirit of God is telling the church at Philippi. He's telling them, don't let anything of the past influence your future. See, because it was bred into me and because it was taught by me by example every day, my family, I was... At my grandma's house, especially, it was always about what somebody had done, and not only was it about what they'd done, but it was about it didn't happen 40 years ago. It was the same as it happened yesterday. And as I was thinking about this, I was brought back to I was a little boy. I don't know. I was about 6 years old or something like that, and I was sitting at the kitchen table, and my great-grandma, but she went home to be with the Lord, I believe, at 98. She was there, and she was talking about all of these people. That, you know, if you're 98 years old, most of your friends is gone. So you got to talk about the past. You know what I mean? And so she's talking about them. And the more she talked about them, my grandma then, the madder she got. Because all she could remember is what they had done to hurt her, to disappoint her. Because she was a hurt person. But my great-grandma didn't look at him that way. She looked at him on this side of the cross. And as she looked at him on this side of the cross, she didn't think about what they had done. They'd done the same thing to her. But Jesus had took care of that. And so I sit there and I watch the turmoil. I watched the anger. And I watched God trying to work and I watched the devil trying to work. And I held that in my heart. And then let's jump forward then. Some 15, 16 years later or something, me and Donna was going to church. And I couldn't wait to come home and as we got together with family and tell them about what God was doing. And tell them about different people that we were either seeing in church rallies or in home church situations. And what did they immediately do? They told me what that person had done 20 years ago. And then they said, that'll never last. You know what that does to a young Christian? It hurts, don't it? But they couldn't choose to look forward. That's why they died young in relevance to what God had for them. But Paul said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to forget those things which are behind, and I want you to reach forth unto those things which are before. Look what he said, verse 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling, the high invitation of God in Christ Jesus. So God's got a higher place for us. So if I'll see that He's forgiven me and He's forgotten my sins, then all of a sudden that's a seed in my life to forgive others. And I can ask Him. Now you can do this by faith. There was a person that hurt me, and by faith I had to say, I forgive them. I hated them. I wanted them to feel the same hurt that they done to me. But I kept saying, by faith, I forgive them. That hate is not me. That's from the hurt. Amen? And so it's amazing when you just step out and you just, it may take a while, but you step out in faith and you say that God will take everything that the devil and the flesh is working together in, and He'll put it under the feet of Jesus. Yeah. What liberty. What victory. When somebody can bring up somebody or you can meet them and now that is not even there. That's God. And so it doesn't make you feel like a hypocrite. It makes you feel like a child of God. Amen? Because you know He done it. Now one last verse. Verse 15. Let this therefore as many as be perfect. Wait a minute. What was I? Okay, so I qualify for the second half of this verse. You qualify for the second half of this verse, be thus minded. And if anything ye otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you. What's fixing to happen? The Holy Ghost is fixing to talk to your spirit. If there's anything that's contrary to what God has for you, if you're missing out on God's best, if there's still some hurt, some anger, some misunderstanding, some confusion, some area where the enemy's working, then you have an assurance that God will reveal. This word reveal is the same Greek word that we get for the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. It means to take the cover off. See, the devil wants to keep things covered up. God wants to bring them out to the open between you and Him. Come on. It's between you and Him. Me and Him. Nobody else. So I want you to believe with me this morning that just by chance, if there's something in your life, in my life, if there's something that would be a hindrance and a limitation to us, God's going to take the cover off. He's going to take the blanket off. Here's what I saw in the Spirit. I saw a person laying on the operating table. And as they were laying on the operating table, they were covered up by that blanket. And what did they do? They had to roll that blanket back to get to where the problem was. But when they got to where the problem was, they was able to what? To fix it. Well, our God knows even better than that. He don't fix our problems. He makes us brand new. Say, I'm a new creature. Amen. Amen. Glory. Let's let God reveal some things to us. I don't know what you're feeling. I'm feeling such an anointing of love that God wants to reveal something to our lives that will help us and cause us to have a newfound liberty like we've never had. You realize that there's people out there, the reason why the devil caused them to hurt you, because if they don't have you in their life, they won't hear from God the message that they need to hear. The devil knows what he's doing. He knows how to disrupt the plan of God. But God's going to reveal some things, and we're going to forever be changed. Amen? Amen? Starting right here with me, I need some revelation. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, we love You. We honor You. We come boldly to the throne of grace right now to find help in time of need. And your help is the kind that changes everything. Father, I believe with all of my heart, as you spoke this into my heart this morning, changing everything that we were going to do, you have a desire, you have a plan. Right now, there's some people who are very tired, they're very weary from just a heaviness of fear, of the unknown, of hopelessness, of all of these things. Father, right now, but I ask that we give you permission, and we ask, expecting that you would take the cover off our lives and anything in our life that's a hurt or a hindrance that is keeping us from being all that you died and resurrected to be, bring revelation, bring unction. Where we can be in that place, in that position, where we can apply these same things to daily life. And we can go out into all of our world. Let it be, Father. We ask you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Would you make yourself an altar or come up here to the front, whatever you feel comfortable with. These altars always get wiped down. Everything is wiped down. But you do what makes you feel comfortable, where you feel comfortable at. And if you need prayer, we'll pray with you. Whatever you need. But I want you to respond this morning. I want you to have an expectancy of new liberty, of new freedom in your life, of a new joy in the Lord. I've prayed this out in the Spirit all week. And it started out heavy. And then when I get to the last, I'd be joyful and laughing in my spirit, even though my mind was in fit. You know what I mean? Even though my body was in turmoil, my spirit was going, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Glory. It's going to be okay. Glory." Come on. Come on. We got to overcome the flesh. We got to overcome the mind by the Spirit. That's eternal. Amen. Yes, amen. Hallelujah.